coming to you live from the centre of Belito on Tuesday, the 26th of July, 2022. It's the afternoon show on 88FM, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Belito. I'm Dave Charles, and for the first part of today's show, we have a very special event taking place. It's a discussion between two senior political leaders in the province with regard to certain developments that have transpired over the past day or so with regard to local politics, and particularly the move to create a coalition in the sense of a coalition of opposition parties to take out the current incumbent, the ANC local government in the Guadaguza municipality. And to that end, my very special guests, Michael Beaumont, who is the national chair of Action SA, and Dean McPherson, who is no stranger to 88FM, Shadow Minister for Trade and Industry, and the provincial chair of the DA in KZN. So I hope that I have correctly identified who we're talking to. As I said, I'm Dave Charles. It's my pleasure to welcome you both to the studio today, guys. And to set the scene, can I just suggest that it would be appropriate to read a paragraph from a release that the Democratic Alliance under the chair, the DA KZN chairperson Dean McPherson, released yesterday, which was a huge surprise, I think, to everyone in the area that was hoping for the change that might come as a result of an effective coalition challenge to the current ANC-led municipality, under which there have been certain interesting questions raised and more questions than answers in many instances, but we will leave that for another day. Right now, the statement that was issued reads like this, the first paragraph. The Democratic Alliance is disappointed that weeks of progress in coalition negotiations to take over the Guadaguza municipality have collapsed due to several fundamentally untenable and potentially illegal demands made by Action SA. Their demands were, in fact, so problematic that the coalition government would not have been a real alternative to the ANC because practices like CADA deployment and interference in budget processes would have continued unabated. Now, that's the opening paragraph. It goes on then to explain the position. And just to set the scene, could I ask what in real terms is required for a coalition of independents and opposition parties to take over the municipality in terms of seats, numbers, etc. Possibly, Michael, that would be an opening question to you. Certainly. Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. I need to give you a microphone. That would help a lot. There we go.
Thank you very much, and it's great to be with you here. Thank you. So, in simple terms, there's a 59-seat council in Guadaguza. And the election result that arose from the election in November last year produced a situation where the ANC fell to below 50% in this municipality for the first time, obtaining only 29 seats of those 59. All of the other parties in Guadaguza collectively make up 30 seats and 51%. So essentially the ANC lost its mandate to govern. Unfortunately, what happened is a couple of parties joined with the ANC at the time and subsequently have now come across to say they would like to be part of a governing alternative coalition. That is what has made these talks possible, and that is what has given rise to a situation where the ANC can in fact be removed from government and be replaced by a governing coalition alternative.
Okay. Now, as I understand it, that means that you need collectively as a coalition 30 seats. And maybe, Dean, I can ask you this question. Do you have a coalition of 30 seats?
Well, we started out on the 22nd of May, actually, when the first initial discussions with myself took place with a number of councillors representing parties in the municipality about a possible coalition. We made it very clear that in order to move forward, the DA has a process of coalition agreement that needs to be worked on, signed to, and then we discuss the positions. The positions are always the last thing to come, but we have to have a credible agreement that everyone agrees to.
But there were 30 potential seats.
Well, except we didn't meet with the EFF. We said we can't meet with the EFF. We can't do business with them. So
but
we met with everyone.
Without the EFF, as I understand it, there aren't 30 available seats.
Well, that's a discussion for just now. I think we'll get into. But we then said we are happy to have those discussions. We're happy to do so with a coalition agreement. and that is the basis that we must start on. Unfortunately, I think what then took place is, over the 6 or 7 meetings that we've had, a number of obstacles have come up, a number of challenges have been found by political parties, and more so the actual coalition, the motion of no confidence that's coming up. We've said very clearly that we must work to sign a coalition agreement, that we don't want to risk placing the municipality under administration should there be no agreement after a vote takes place. That'd be very dangerous.
And so we can ask why?
Well, because if you vote out a government and there's no agreed position on a coalition agreement on positions, and you fail then to put in a new government, the provincial government will appoint an administrator. Once you appoint that administrator, you will never get rid of them. And we in the DA, we've seen what administrators do. The provincial government in Tshwane appointed one for 7 months illegally, and 4.5 billion rand worth of corruption took place in 7 months. So we have learnt the painful lessons of what takes place when municipalities are put under administration, and we want to make sure that we have a rock-solid coalition agreement and that everyone is happy to. Then we can talk about the positions and we can move forward.
Okay, talking about rock-solid coalition agreement, and I want to come back to the numbers, because without the critical numbers of 30 seats, which would seem to indicate that without the EFF's vote, it would be academic, the entire discussion. So at some stage going into this, there must have been a notion that whether, I know that the DA and the EFF don't see eye to eye in terms of many things, and coalition often is not possible directly, but we're all mature and understand, I think, to a degree, some of the politicking that goes on behind the scenes. And if there is an agreement to vote for a motion, whether you're in active coalition or not, to pass the motion, that has been done many times in local and national politics, and it continues to be the norm. So whether you formally have a coalition of members that all sign, et cetera, or you have an informal agreement which has been negotiated before the vote to vote together as a bloc to achieve a certain goal, either way you get the result that you're looking for by negotiation. Now surely in this build up to any kind of a vote where you need the 30 seats, the EFF was always going to be a factor. And can I ask, Michael, in your discussions, and then we come back and you know, bounce it around, was this the case? Were you talking to all of the parties?
So the invitation to begin coalition talks was extended to Action SA and other parties by the DA, which we graciously accepted and were very keen to, because the residents of this municipality, I believe, would be well served by a coalition government. We were under no illusions, though, when you look at the numbers, that the collective of parties involved in the negotiations who were invited by the DA amount to 26 seats.
Right.
And the remaining four seats to get to the majority of 30 to beat the voting of the ANC at 29 would have to come from the EFF.
So that was a starting point. There would have had to have been an inclusion of the EFF, either overtly or covertly, whichever the case may be, for the vote to succeed.
The bottom line from our side, Dave, and it's a mathematical statement, is that certain things in a municipal council have to be passed by an absolute majority of council.
Right.
So when you have to approve a budget or an IDP, they have to have 30 votes in favor in Kwadi Kuza minimum.
Yes.
And by virtue of that statement, what you're saying is absolutely correct.
Okay, so what went wrong, Dean, if that was the starting position?
Well, we've always been very clear. As a principle, the DA cannot and will not work with the EFF. In a coalition, it cannot happen. That is a position that we've stated, and we're going to remain very true to that. And both parties, by virtue of individuals, have a history of understanding what the EFF does and how they can infiltrate a coalition. And what we had said is, we said we're prepared to build a bloc of voters, which would be 26 in this, and then the EFF must decide either to support the coalition or they must support the ANC. Just as we and many other parties are being asked to either support a motion or support the ANC.
And but so would that be a wise position, to leave it to chance and whim?
Well, you see, people can say, you know, that you must leave it to a chance and a whim, and we disagree with that, because what we want to be very clear on is that when we have a vote and when we go into a council meeting, that our principles and the best interests of the residents are maintained. What we, sorry, let me just finish, David.
Right.
What we cannot allow is, we cannot allow the EFF to infiltrate the coalition through members of the coalition. Because what they're very good at is they will come to different political parties and they say, we will support an issue if you do this, if you do this, and if you do that. And then all of a sudden, you have the EFF in the coalition by virtue of every party doing their bidding for them.
Agreeing. But it's yes, still and the tail wagging the dog.
And that is a problem. Well, that is the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah.
When the EFF dictates to other political parties as their proxies what to do. And we wanted to be very clear that as a coalition, we want to insulate the coalition, that the coalition will take decisions in the best interests of residents across all political parties that are represented there. And then the EFF must simply make a decision that they either back the coalition or they back the ANC.
But if they've been excluded from the coalition, why would they back it?
Well,
if they've patently not.
Well, if they've been as honest as they have, and other political parties have told us that they want to get rid of the ANC and they want to see the ANC out, then they would vote for the coalition. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to allow them to play an outside influence into the coalition and make demands and start to extract concessions out of the coalition that support them. Okay. That is something we can't accept.
But that would have been a negotiated position from the outset, and I presume that you were negotiating that from the outset because presumably without the EFF's tacit, possibly, but certainly implied cooperation, the entire exercise was a moot point anyway.
Well, we've never negotiated with the EFF. We won't negotiate with them.
Not even behind the scenes.
In these negotiations, absolutely. In these negotiations, we will not have anything to do with them. If other parties want to, some of them have been open about that. But going forward, there must be an alternative that says that you either support the coalition or you support the ANC. And that is the position that we wanted to put on the table.
We were upfront
about that from the beginning.
Even if you risk blowing the entire deal from being intransigent?
Well, then that would be up to the EFF to explain to voters.
Really,
so
if you are,
we would have stuck to our voters. And you see, the problem is this, Dave, is that many people want to say, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's just have the motion and then see what happens. That's like issuing a wedding invitation with Dave Charles's name on it and not knowing who the bride is going to be. We can't get ourselves into a situation like that where we see what happens down the road. Because within 6 months, I promise you, it will have collapsed. So at least everyone knows where they stand. The public knows where each party stands. And then we move forward on that basis.
Can I bring Michael in at this point?
Dave,
is that how you see it?
No, not at all. And I think the actual irony of what Dean is saying is that rather than this thing possibly collapsing in 6 months, it collapsed yesterday.
Well, there
it
is.
And it collapsed by virtue of the DA statement, which I think is the real tragedy, because there's still an opportunity. And I think that there must be a continued conversation to bring the DA back to the table. Because ultimately, residents are more concerned about what services they are receiving than the configuration of parties that are delivering that service. But I want to make an important point here, Dave, because there is a difference between a coalition partner and someone who's voting with you. So even in places like Johannesburg, Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni in Gauteng, where we've negotiated these coalitions, there are parties who are in the coalition and who have signed the agreement, and there are parties who will support on an issue-by-issue basis. Now, it is the position of everyone in the multi-party coalition in Kwadu Kuza that the EFF should not be formal partners in this agreement, and nor should there be signatories to a coalition agreement. For what it is worth, the EFF has said exactly the same to the structures of our different parties on the ground here. So we need to understand that there is that difference. But if we could pull together a coalition of the 26 seats that were represented in these coalition talks and say to a party like the EFF, by way of example, that when it comes to a budget, your residents deserve service delivery as much as ours. Could we perhaps have a discussion about what your priorities are and ensure that a pragmatic approach is developed to a budget that serves all residents of the municipality? That is how we remove the ANC, and that is how we deliver a coalition government to the benefit of all residents.
It would appear that that is it sounds reasonable as a position to me. And here is the thing, from a local resident's perspective, it would appear that we've seen on numerous occasions the current municipal lineup linked to, or certain individuals in the lineup linked to, a raft of, call it malfeasance, simply as a broad stroke issue that is untenable to almost every single reasonable person that has looked at the situation, and there is a huge, huge demand for meaningful change towards free, fair, open, productive local service delivery and governance. And that surely is the prize. It cannot, it, or it seems like it's not going to come from the ANC. It would appear that that's a given based on past track record and performance. Here is an opportunity, a real opportunity, it would appear, for change and, in a sense, almost a kind of forebear of what might be to come in the national debate going forward, national politics being a very important, shall we say, goal for 2024, real, meaningful forward thrust. If this is a precursor of things to come, it seems that coalition politics and real meaningful change is going to be impossible.
Well, Dave, you know, I think that the DA has actually proven its commitment to coalitions. If one looks at the coalitions that were put together across many political parties in Gauteng, the one that's been put together in Nelson Mandela Bay that's will be signed this week, the DA is committed to coalitions. But it's not an easy task to come to coalition agreement. The Nelson Mandela Bay agreement has been 8 months worth of work. It's a long time, and it's a lot of work that's got to take place. But what we can't do is we cannot sacrifice residents and sacrifice principles for expediency. We've got to make sure that it is done correctly and in a way that benefits everyone, but from the voters to the political parties.
Okay,
so we've got to make sure that it is done correctly. We can't just throw up our hands and just say we're going to do this and do that, because that will lead to a disaster. We have a long history, and we've learned many lessons in this process. And we are committed to a coalition in Kwarakuza. Our door is open. We have said and we have outlined what the three problematic areas are. There seems to be an unwillingness to deal with those issues. There seems to be an insistence on creating parallel committees within the municipality, which we don't believe is legal. And so unless there can be some movement on that, we find ourselves in a difficult place. But our door is open.
Okay.
Dave, can I perhaps come in?
Yes, of course.
I'm so sorry. I think it's important to say that saying there's a commitment to coalition is very different from actually committing to it. And you can't send out a press statement yesterday collapsing talks and then the next day say you're committed to coalition. Those are two contradictory statements. And I think we need to dive in with what is actually being said as the problem. Because the stated problem is not the same as the real problem. The stated problem is that there are efforts to build structures in the coalition that are so-called illegal. It's not true. These are structures designed to ensure that there's proper multi-party participation in the budget, which is inherently a political process. Elections happen, outcomes are realized, the manifesto of those parties need to be translated into service delivery by way of a budget. It's inherently a political process. To suggest multi-party involvement to provide inputs into a budget is absolutely bizarre when it is the executive mayor or the mayor who presents a budget to the municipal council to be voted upon by councillors. The same applies to the issue of appointing senior managers. Senior managers are inherently appointed by councillors in the municipal council. A multi-party coalition must be seized by the question of, are these experienced people? Are they skilled people? Are they ethical people? And are they going to be aligned to a change agenda? In other words, you can't appoint people who are fundamentally opposed to the work of a multi-party coalition and will resist it. So these are important questions. There's no question about these things being illegal. They are fundamentally about good governance. And they are done in other coalitions. But I feel like these are pretenses created to put problems in the right road of coalition rather than actually achieve it. And to give you an example, this whole story about engaging for support to have a majority came to a head in the coalition when the DA proposed a clause in the agreement that said no party in the agreement may seek the support of a party outside of the agreement to approve a report in council. So you basically just politically neutered your own government. Because you're saying the 26 votes we have may not actively try to get the 30 you need to do any business. And I must remind you, those reports are not about paper. That's service delivery. Every one of those reports that don't get approved because we're playing Russian roulette with these things and just seeing how it goes is an impact upon residents in this municipality.
You know, Dave, you must always refer to what the legislation says. And there are three acts of legislation that govern local government. The Municipal Structures Act, the Municipal Systems Act, and the Municipal Finance Management Act. Now, the
all of which seems to have been in one way or another trampled on by the current incumbents. So obviously they don't play by the rules.
But hang on, but that doesn't mean that we can't play by the rules.
But surely,
and Dave, I think this is important because the two committees that are being advocated for are not found in those pieces of legislation. Politicians cannot sit in a room and determine senior managers. That is a job of the municipality.
Isn't councilors, that the body of councillors?
Councillors
exactly
determine the municipal manager and those that report to him. But the head of electricity, as Action SA has advocated for, that is not determined by councillors. So, you know, we must be very careful about saying that because we want to get rid of the bad, we're going to be bad ourselves. And those are just bridges too far for the DA.
Well, we're using terms like good and bad as absolutes, which is not necessarily the case. Can I just put it to you, because time is always of the essence, what appears to the man and woman in the street to have taken place right now, just looking at the facts, is that there seems to have been a desire on everyone's part, in terms of party opposition parties, to come together to oust the ANC in local government. And there would be a kind of scenario there by where everyone wins because better service delivery, etc., etc. Somewhere along the line, it would appear that the DA has done an about-face and has used the opportunity almost to extract yourselves from this process for whatever reason, and to score political points by, you're talking good and bad and cadre deployment and illegal structures and state capture in your document. Mm-hmm. All of these are highly emotive and speak very much kind of towards an ANC position, which I don't think has ever been the case with this coalition arrangement. But it would appear that you have been turning it into that kind of debate and that kind of polemic. Is that the case?
Well, you know, as I said, let's look at the track record. There's only one political party that is as committed as us is to getting the ANC out of power, and we're just about to do that now in Nelson Mandela Bay. But what we must do is that when we replace one government with another, we must make sure that it is fireproof, that it acts within the law, and that's important to us. We are a law-based party. We abide by the law, and we want to implement the law.
Okay, but can I just stop you there for a sec?
Sorry,
because
Dave,
it's important.
Asked me a question.
Okay, but you're talking about the law, and I don't think anyone has been breaking the law here, unless I'm incorrect.
Well, in our opinion, what is being put forward, and those are not our proposals. Those were Action SA's proposals. Action SA's proposal for a parallel committee, which we believe it is, and a budget steering committee, those are their inputs. They don't
and
want
you
to
say
move
that's illegal, or is we, it extra legal? Or
we believe that they are not catered for in law. That
Michael,
there is no way that they are catered for in law.
I think the concept that something not catered for in law is then de facto
illegal
is
it's
an argument that doesn't belong in a law 101 class. It really doesn't.
Well, you know, I think that when you go and look at what the Zondo Commission has gone and spoken about politicians that determine who gets appointed to what role in a municipality, you know, I think that leaves a lot of thought for everyone. And what we don't want to do, Dave, is we don't want to find ourselves in a position where in 6 months' time that demands are being made by coalition partners or people outside of the coalition to say you must act like this or you must do that. We must be absolutely upfront from the beginning what is going to come to Kwarakuza and what residents can hold us accountable for. But we can't just all sacrifice what our principles are at this time. It just can't work like that. And so we want to see a coalition agreement. We are happy to continue with a coalition agreement. But, you know, the ball, in our opinion, rests in Action SA's court. They need to move on those issues. We gave them those issues last Friday. They came back to us on Monday and said, we're not moving on them. So that's the impasse that we find ourselves in.
But by virtue of the term negotiation, this means that you are prepared to concede certain issues to get support. That's how negotiation works. That's
absolutely
how support is gained.
And if one
and there's always a give and take in every situation.
And if one looks at the 16 or page so coalition agreement, you will see a lot of negotiations that have taken place. And there's been a lot of acceptance and there's been a lot of discussion around many, many points. We're down to about 3 points that we disagree in, but we can't just throw those out. That would be disingenuous, okay. And that would be dangerous.
Because of time, I'm just going to... Yeah, please.
Please. You know, what I hear a lot of is what we can do as a party and what we can do. What I don't hear is a conversation about what the residents of Kwadi Kuza need. And I think that's part of the problem, because coalitions are being negotiated by political parties. And it becomes a problem if the political parties start to drive those coalitions based on what suits them and what they're willing to do and what works for them, and what their principles are. When the question is, what do the residents of Kwadi Kuza want? And we don't have to look much further than the elections held in November last year to see that they want change. And the point of collapsing coalition talks yesterday is the exact opposite of delivering that kind of change. There has to be an urgency behind this, and we have to work not to collapse coalition talks, but to actually have these discussions. And to prove the point that you asked earlier about whether this was a pretense, we finished a coalition meeting at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. The final position communicated by the DA was we're going to work to make progress. We're going to continue meeting. 5 minutes later,
1 hour,
that press statement was sent out. So that press statement was prepared in advance of that meeting with the assumption that that was the outcome. That is the definition of bad faith.
Well, that's just simply not true, because actually the press statement went out after an hour, and we believe that it's important that we communicate with our voters about where things are. Just as Action SA have been very happy to communicate on the 18th of July and saying what they want and how things are progressing. So just as Action SA have a right to communicate with their voters, we need to communicate with our voters.
Have you communicated with your voters?
Absolutely, and we need to let them
and
know.
And have the voters said to you, under no circumstances must you allow the EFF into
let
this
me tell you, we have our phones have been ringing with people saying that we absolutely understand where you are. We are very concerned about where this is going, and we don't want to have a coalition that is going to be driven by outside political parties.
And therefore, are those people that have been phoning you quite happy with the status quo? Because if they are, there's no point in continuing.
Well, they want a coalition that works.
But
we're happy to do so. And we're happy to do so. If Action SA want to come and talk to us about those three issues, they know where to find us.
Can I just ask this, because we would love to have that
discussion again.
I don't want to talk over you. I just want to ask the question. You need 30 seats. You cannot get 30 seats without the EFF. It's academic if you stick to this position. Are you prepared to negotiate?
Let the EFF make a decision on what is before them. But we are not going to have emissaries or people negotiating on behalf of the EFF. It's not going to work because it is going to collapse a coalition.
Dave, can I
however,
say,
yes.
Please. I think this has become a sticking point, and it has become, by Dean's characterization correctly, a sticking point. And I think the work now must be about what do we do going forward. Because the residents, you know, cannot be given up upon by virtue of this difficulty. And I think the work must now be for those parties who are willing to go ahead and find a pragmatic arrangement that produces those 30 votes must go ahead and do exactly that. So Action SA is already in conversation with the remaining political parties, all of whom are keen to continue discussions, collectively all of whom have 21 votes. And on Thursday, at the motion of no confidence, we will invite the Democratic Alliance to bring their 9 votes to bear to remove the ANC, and they must answer that question on Thursday.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how things play out, because Thursday is crunch day. That's when the voting takes place. Dean, you say you're still committed to the notion of coalition and the idea of taking over the municipality with a coalition. In that spirit, I presume, are you still prepared to talk to each other?
Michael has my number. I'm very happy to keep the conversation going. But those are the three issues that need to be resolved. And they're important issues. They're important issues to the DA, and we believe they're important issues to the voters of Kwadi Kuza.
Are they able to be resolved?
Well, it requires people to be pragmatic.
Yes.
And I think the problem is the DA is approaching these coalition conversations to say these are red line issues. And I'm quoting the term they used.
Mm.
In other words, zero movement is possible on these issues. Now, when those are issues of style, you can accommodate and you can look at how you do things. But if the DA is saying that they will only be in a coalition that is expressly forbidden from actively seeking a majority of votes to do the business of the residents, then that can't work. I mean, by your own calculation, that is just playing Russian roulette with service delivery and just seeing how things go from meeting to meeting, and that's chaotic. So if the DA is going to take that position, then the remainder of political parties must take forward this discussion, come up with a solution by Thursday, and invite the DA to join it or not.
It's an interesting situation. We're not going to find a solution today, but we certainly have opened up the discussion.
Thank you for trying to mediate.
Yeah, I'm grateful for the progress. Thank you.
I wish you great success with the negotiations going forward, because I believe everyone wins if we find a workable solution, because bottom line is the economy needs to be fixed. We need to see forward motion. I think everyone wins when we're going ahead together in the same direction. We're almost there. Issues will always occur, but it's how we face them in a mature society going forward that determines the future. And I wish you huge success. We'll be watching this very closely on Thursday. Michael Bowman from the Action SA.
Formerly.
Dean McPherson, Democratic Alliance. Thank you for joining us on the afternoon show. The time now, 3 o'clock. We probably are going to skip the 3 o'clock news, but we will be certainly watching the space very closely and report back after the meeting at Council on Thursday. Here's hoping.